Can anybody say with me? Say with me, testings. I want to share with us something this morning, just quick, because of communion, so we don't have much time, but I'll get the message quite strongly through. And I want to speak about persevering through pressure. Put on the screen for me Ruth chapter number 1, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Start from verse 1. I know verse 1 is not on the notes, that's fine. I just want you to read here with me on the screen. Listen to this. It says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing. Say with me, winnowing. Winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Next verse. Therefore, go wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. Say with me, threshing floor. This is what I heard this with the Lord say to me this week, the whole week. He said to me to preach on the threshing floor. The only reason I named it or titled it Persevering Through Pressure is because many doesn't know what a threshing floor is. So I understand that because we're a new church and we have many young believers and so on. He says, therefore, she said to her, therefore go wash yourself and anoint yourself. So if you anoint myself, anywhere in Scripture you will see that God requires us to anoint ourselves. And that time they took oil and they anointed them. That was what they called it. They took olive oil and they anointed themselves. How many of you know we have the Holy Spirit in that regard in the New Testament? It is our duty every morning to wash our face and to anoint ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? Listen, therefore go wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment. Say with me, best garment. And go down to the threshing floor. And I'm going to stop there. We're not going to carry on reading from there. I just want to get that verse through to you. The threshing floor in Scripture is representative of a place of testing, a season of testing, or a place and a season of judgment. Are you guys with me? That's the place where God separates two things. Either believers from unbelievers, or true believers from untrue believers. Those in the church who have evil intentions, who are not really full on true believers. That's a season where God comes and He sifts and He separates those two. It's also a season where He comes into our lives and He separates the chaff from the wheat. Things that should not be in our lives to things that should be in our life. Are you guys with me? So say with me, testing. I want you to get this. Listen, if you want to leave this morning here after this service, I want you to remember testing and threshing floor. But there are many processes that, put me a little bit softer, the music in my monitors, please. Just a little bit, not completely. There's a lot of processes in Scripture, meaning you have, what are we going to get into today? The process of the threshing floor. There's a whole process to it, and we can actually equate that to the believer, things that we are going through. Are you guys with me? Then we have processes of an olive tree, how olive oil is being made. First, olives hang on the tree. What they then do, they would come with sticks and beat the bottom part of the tree until the olives begin to fall. Are you guys with me? That's what we call the falling process. First, it's the falling part. But before the falling part is what we call the beating part, which means that you're standing as an olive tree or as an olive getting ready to be used by God. Somebody who's getting ready to be used by God. But before the anointing can come out of you, you must be beaten by sticks. And that is pressure, trials and tribulations that a believer goes through. And if it is handled wrong, they don't understand what it is. Are you guys with me? From there, the olives goes into a press and it is pressed with a big stone. Many of you will know the process. And a stone is rolled all over it the whole time until all the oil is pressed out. Are you guys with me? Out of that oil, then they have to separate it also, because then the little pieces of olive is still in there. And they have to separate it and take it through a sieve until it becomes pure olive oil. It is a whole process. And right throughout Scripture, we see God using processes, equating to what we go through life and how to respond to it. Listen, I pray, and my prayer is many times, that God would remove people from me if they have not been tested. Are you guys with me? An untested believer is a dangerous believer because their flesh is still alive. They can react. They're not dead. How many of you, I used to preach, I said, God's dream is to kill us. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that dwells inside of me. I have been crucified with Christ Jesus, Paul is saying, which means that he was dead. For us as believers to bear fruit, our flesh must be dead, which means that if somebody comes, your wife or your husband comes, and they press a button or they pinch or they say something, that there's no reaction. If there's a reaction, it means it's not dead. Are you guys with me? If the church phones and say, listen, we need you to come and help on Saturday morning, 6 o'clock to, I don't know, help with security or help with lights or whatever it might be at the outreach. Is there a part that's reacting or not? If we say, listen, if somebody comes into the church, they want to be in leadership, and we say, listen, please start at the door if you can hand out some pamphlets or buy the parking, and they react, it means that a process has not been fulfilled yet in their lives. And one of the things when we started the church, God said to me, I must put in a process. That's what we have. F1, F2, School of Discipleship, School of Mentors, where people go through, they learn to serve, learn to minister to people, learn to serve, learn to do the small things, to volunteer. They're going through a process. Are you guys with me? Somebody was asking me in the about in the leadership night, it was a very good question. Someone asked me, is there a way in encounter for ministers to rise up? It's people that want to be pastors or evangelists. And I obviously answered the person, and I was thinking this week, and I thought, absolutely, because it takes such a process for God to get us to a place where we are usable for Him. Let me go. You listen. You'll understand now as we go through the processes. So we have the process of the threshing floor of olive oil where we are beaten. Then we have other processes. There's a process of the seed. It means that you'll check in Corinthians. The scripture says that when the seed falls to the ground and it dies, it bears much fruit. Which means that there's a falling process in our life. It feels like we are falling and nothing is happening. Then we must go into the ground. Then there's a dying process where we must die to ourselves before we begin to bear much fruit. Are you guys with me? I know it's not a hallelujah message, and I know it is cold, but I want this revelation to get into you so that you can understand what place we are at and you as a believer and how to get through it. Amen? Listen, when people make it through a threshing process, an olive beating process, whatever process God is taking them through, when people make it through a process, they come out shining, being able to be used by God. Are you guys with me? There's a process of being in the baker's hands. I spoke to you about that in our church in the previous church building, which you will see the process of flour. When flour is being used, how it becomes pliable. God wants people in His hands that is pliable. Are you with me? It's a saying, it's much easier to work with a young tree than an old tree. Because a young tree can be pliable, but an old tree has to be broken. Amen? So, I'm not speaking of age now. Okay? So I'm speaking of just a mindset. So let's go to a notes. And I want to read through it so that we don't waste time. This is very good stuff. I was with this the whole week of this subject and getting into my spirit. Threshing floor. Say with the threshing floor. In scripture, there's a place called the threshing floor. That's the place where the usable wheat was separated from the unusable chaff. In those days, they would place layers of wheat on the ground and have their own oxen walk over it, say with you, repeatedly. Or they would beat the wheat with sticks, which would break it up. And Lloyd, if you can just flow with me with the images, like, don't put wrong image up wrong time, okay? So I want you guys just to, as I'm going to minister, there'll be images up so that we can get a visual image of what a threshing floor looks like. This is how a threshing floor looks like. Usually it was outside of the city. It was a piece of cement, and there they would lay the wheat down, layers upon layers of wheat. Animals would then come and walk on it, and carrying some stuff that we'll get into now as this mat that would go begin to break up the wheat. and separate it, or they would begin to beat it with sticks until it breaks. Are you guys with me? This is the beating process. Listen, it goes on. It says this process would cause the valuable part of the plant, the grain, to come loose from the chaff. Listen, a process, testings, time of testings, brings out valuable things in our lives. Are you guys with me? Every single person has value and a treasure in them, but it depends what process they are placed into before that value comes out. Listen, the farmer could have had a great harvest, but he didn't separate the dysfunctional part of the plant from the functional. He would never make a living. Even though he had something very valuable, if it didn't go through this process, it wouldn't profit him at all. Are you guys with me? I've seen people so valuable to the kingdom of God, coming into the church, coming into Encounter Church, and they have gifts, they have an anointing, they're valuable, they are talented, they can pull people by just saying anything. The hand of God is on them, but they have not gone through the process. Which means that I've seen them being left out, and it is 3 months to 6 months, offense comes, pride comes in, and they decide to leave that, and they don't understand the workings of God. Are you guys with me? And it is something that has been incredible, valuable, that has been wasted. I've seen people greater calls than me, my age, friends of mine, when I just got saved, this guy had an anointing. I mean, we would just go into a shopping market. They would initiate preaching. And I always said we used to do that. They would initiate. Next thing I would see them standing in the middle of the shopping market preaching. People, the power of God is upon them. People, they're laying hands on other people. Then they told me how to do it and so on. I was with some of my friends that we would just walk into a room of people and people would begin to manifest. They just say hello. They didn't pray, didn't do anything like that. Incredible gifts, and completely lost today because of a lack of process. And they never wanted to submit to the process. Are you guys with me? Listen. He says that it's if we don't go through the process, this value wouldn't profit us. In the same way, to reach our highest potential, God will take us through the process of the threshing floor. We start off like that stalk of wheat. The potential is there. We have seeds of greatness and we are valuable. But the problem is that we all carry some chaff along with the valuable grain. We may have some pride, selfishness, insecurity. We have chaff there. We have stuff in our lives that's not right. Unless God takes us through the process of the threshing floor, we will never become what He has created us to be. Are you guys with me? Romans 8 says that He works all things out together for the good. Which means it doesn't matter if you've lost your house, if you've been abandoned out of your family. It depends on our perspective of how we see it. Because God can take every single thing that the enemy has thrown against you. Are you guys with me? That we have caused to come against us. And He can turn it around for our good. And He can turn around for His pleasure and our good. That it can be working for us. That's why the Bible says that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, this light affliction is but for a moment. Say with me, but for a moment. But it is working out for me a far more exceeding weight of glory. That is not heaven. It is an exceeding weight of glory that is available for you and I in this life. But Paul says this light affliction. What is this light affliction? Paul, you've been beaten to death. Sorry, you've been stoned to death. And many of you don't know that his disciples raised him from the dead. Then he was beaten with sticks until his feet was crushed into like pulp. They would hang Paul by his feet, take sticks with stones on, and beat his feet until his feet was crushed to pulp. And Paul is saying this light affliction. Are you guys with me? Shipwrecks, one after the other. Landing in the deep sea, one after another. Do you know what deep sea is? That means international waters. And you come out of there alive. But he says this light affliction. Then I listen to people. Oh my God. My girlfriend doesn't like me. This friend here, be battling with this little bit of money, and the next thing I see them by the movies, but they were battling with money. And this light, Paul says, this light affliction is but for a moment. But he says, listen, this thing, even though he was beaten to death, everything came against him. He says, it is working for me a far more exceeding weight of glory. Meaning he was saying, listen, everything the devil is throwing to make me stop, what he doesn't know is the more he's throwing stuff at my life, the more it is being turned around for my exceeding weight of glory to work for me and work for my destiny. Whatever the devil is throwing, I don't care if it is sickness, poverty, finance, whatever it is, he's trying to threaten you. It'll make you everything that he's trying to stop today. Are you guys with me? And these are the scriptures that I live by, that I get into my spirit, that I memorize. Listen, threshing floors are usually found in a field outside of town, preferably in an exposed position in order to get the full benefit of the prevailing west winds. There's usually a large concrete surface which is constructed in a circular shape, as you can see there, and a ridge of stones are found on the circumference to contain the grain. The threshing process. So the threshing process. I want to share with you, we're going to go into just 3 points of what the process is, and you'll see how this relates to our lives. The root meaning of the Hebrew word for thresh, which comes from the word threshing, the root Hebrew meaning means to trample, which comes from the process of using oxen to trample on the grain. There are 2 ways in which threshing is done. Number one, where several animals, commonly oxen or donkeys, are tied abreast and driven round and round the floor, often pulling a drag, the bottom of which is studded with pieces of stone. And number two is an instrument called a flail, which they will take its 2 sticks together, attaching a sharp instrument or stone or something like that, which would resemble a whip-like instrument, and they would beat the chaff until it breaks. So those are the 2 instruments that God would use to thresh the wheat. Are you guys with me? Let me just explain like this. It's a parable, I'm not going to get into it today, Matthew 24, where the Bible says that Jesus would come and reap the harvest and separate the wheat from the chaff and throw that chaff in the unquenchable fire. Are you guys with me? He will separate the wheat from the chaff, meaning we represent wheat. Some in here represent chaff, but most of us, we represent wheat. And when the wheat comes, the process for us to grow is that God would take animals with their hooves to trample on us, or he would take sticks and beat us. And it feels like we are beaten by maybe sickness, beaten by our work. Our boss is saying this thing, that thing. It's everything for our character. Are you with me? When you have a revelation, and even though everything goes wrong, but you have in your heart and in your spirit, and you say, God, you work all things together for the good. As pressure is applied to the grain, the stalks gradually break into shorter pieces, and the husks around the grain are torn off. In the first method of threshing, the tribulum, say with me, tribulum. I want to explain to you this. The tribulum is what they use behind the animal. That's the tribulum up there. There's an image. It's holes in like a mat wood type thing where they put stones in. And it's dragged by the animal. Many times you'll see people stand on that and with strapped to the animals. What the tribulum does is it is pushed, it's dragged by the animal over the wheat. Are you guys with me? Crushing and breaking up the wheat. But listen here. And why I'm reading is because it's very good put into, it's good put very well into the text here. In the first method of threshing, the tribulum is the hard mat that the oxen carry around the threshing floor, which puts pressure, say with you, pressure. Okay. On the wheat. Who is the wheat? Okay. In order to separate the chaff. So God is saying, listen, I need to put pressure on your life to remove things that is not supposed to be there. How many of you know when they take metal or even gold, and to get it pure gold, you have to beat it. They beat it with a hammer. Make it so hot, very hot. Then they begin to, especially with steel, they begin to beat it so that those impurities can come out. If you've seen on Discovery Channel, if that does not come out, the steel would be very brittle They can build a building with it or put something, but there's impurities and there's defects, and it is then able to break and not stand under pressure. In our lives, if heat is not put on us, if we are not beaten for impurities to come out, we will not be able to hold something up and we'll crumble under pressure. Are you guys with me? So listen, to carry around the threshing floor, the tribulum, which puts pressure on the wheat in order to separate the chaff, a tribulum has the same root word as our English word called tribulation. So with the tribulation, trials and tribulation is what put pressure on us and reveals the chaff in our areas which need to be dealt with. Listen, and don't think this chaff is automatically going to disappear. When that pressure comes, we usually manifest what the chaff is. Are you guys with me? It just means, it doesn't mean God is not here. In fact, it means God is there. So, because He's bringing things up to the forefront. Now I'm put into pressure. I got fired from work. I get home. My wife is on my case. We don't have finances. Somebody, and you're late at night, and then you try to brush your teeth, and you can't find the toothbrush. And all of a sudden, you start swearing and cussing and want to hit the people, the animals in your house. Why? Things are coming out now. Are you guys with me? Now when it comes out, you can see, but wait, I have this problem to repent of. This is what has always been in my heart. It's not like it just happened now. No. It's always been there in my heart. Jesus said, food goes into your mouth, but that which comes out of your heart, that is murderous, lying. Are you guys with me? Blasphemy. Those things comes out of our hearts. Okay. So say with me, threshing. So that's the first process. And we see when God takes us through a threshing place, that's when tribulation comes, pressure comes, trials and tribulation. Peter, the book of Peter says, rejoice in the fact that you're going through trials and tribulations. Be glad that you're going through trials and tribulations. Are you guys with me? It's time that we get into the old school Pentecostal, where if you realize, but wait, all hell is breaking loose, I can begin to praise God, speak in tongues, get in my room, begin to clap hands and praise Him, and just don't care. And that praise will cause you to have breakthrough. Come on. Number two, the second process, second step in the process is, say with me, winnowing. That's when the winnowing fan comes. It looks like that. And what they will do is they will use that to throw the wheat up in the air. And the wind, which is the west wind, will begin to blow. And it will blow the chaff away and the wheat will fall. Are you guys with me? Now listen, the reason, let me explain to you something. Let me read it and then I'll get there. Let me read it. It says this mixture of straw, chaff and grain must now be winnowed. This was traditionally done by repeatedly tossing the grain up into a light wind by means of a fork with large teeth, which gradually blows the lighter chaff away. The worthless chaff was taken by the wind, blown far away from the winnower, the straw less far, while the valuable heavier kernels of grain fell back onto the threshing floor. Just stop there. If you have eyes, you can now see. Okay? When they would take that winnowing fan and throw up the straw, the chaff, and the wheat, the process is that a wind will come and blow, and the chaff will blow the furthest away. Are you guys with me? Because it is the lightest. You have people that are thin, and Paul says in the book of Ephesians, they are blown, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Then they believe, then it's ECC. Then it is RCC, then it is this church, then it is this one. Now this one is a great doctrine, this one is appealing, I like this one. Now yes, prosperity. Now this one, I love this church, they don't take up offerings. They're blown away by every wind of doctrine. They are thin. Have you ever heard the saying that somebody has weight or not? When they have weight, listen. Jesus said to Peter, He said, Satan has asked of you to sift you for you have been found wanting. And that word sift, if you take that whole phrase, it means that Satan wants to measure him up and down to see if he has weight or not, if you will make it through that. And Jesus said, but you will make it through because I'm praying for you. And even though Jesus prayed for him, he still almost didn't make it. Are you guys with me? Then Daniel was in Daniel chapter number 5, he says, he was in the, Belshazzar had a party at his house, and we know that a finger came in, the finger of God, and wrote on the wall, many, many tekel upharsin. Are you guys with me? Many, many tekel upharsin. And you'll see how Belshazzar, the king, has invited everyone except Daniel and his friends, which means that when the prophetic wasn't even invited there, not even God comes in, he just has to put his finger into a place. And he writes many, many tekel upharsin. Daniel is there to interpret it. And he says, it means, the word tekel means you have been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. There comes a time of sifting and seasons where Satan will weigh us in the balances to see, do we have weight and measure or not? Will we be blown away by every little wind, or will we like the wheat that is strong that just falls back down to the ground? Are you guys with me? I can look at people. I can look at preachers. I've been in the ministry for a while now. I've watched TV, oh my God. And we're going to be on TV before the end of this year, you'll see. And they asked us, so it is a good thing. But I've seen watching preachers on TV, and some of them are thin in the spirit. When there is no blood shed in a minister's life, what I mean by bloodshed, he goes through sacrifice. When everybody's in a family, maybe spending time on a Saturday, the minister that's preaching from the pulpit, he might be sacrificing all Saturday, praying, fasting for the Sunday. We've been through a lifestyle of fasting and prayer, going through troubles, trials and persecutions. Are you guys with me? How do we get weight? Paul says this light affliction is but for a moment, but it works out for me a far more exceeding weight of glory. When I go through trials, tribulations, afflictions, things that doesn't work in my way, but I keep my eyes upon Jesus Christ, what happens is I'm beginning to get a reputation and weight in the spirit. I become weighty. When you talk to people, you don't sound thin. Are you guys with me? Again. So weight, measured. Daniel says, for you have been found wanting. You have been weighed in the balances. I have in my life, at least there was about 3 or 4 times from my salvation. Let me say, from I was in ministry, where I've been sifted by the devil. You have been found wanting. The devil is looking for you. He wants to sift you. He wants to take you. But when you have weight, you have Jesus praying for you, you have the right things put into you, you'll make it through that. Are you guys with me? Think of it like that. They would throw the chaff, the wheat and the straw in the air, and the chaff would blow far away. This is a time, listen, in the church, maybe whatever it is in the church, whatever it is at business, whatever is happening, but you're being thrown up into the air. You feel like I'm just being promoted. Are you guys with me? You feel like something is just, my breakthrough is just here. I'm getting to the position where I just want to be. The next thing that happens as a wheat, as somebody that has weight, there you see your friend or your brother so or sister so being blown away by the wind, and it looks like they're being used mightily by God, and you fall back into the same place. It's the process of threshing. Are you guys with me? And when you go up and down, what you don't realize is you're actually being purified. Those that are looking like they're being promoted, they're being removed to make you purer. Listen. That's the step of winnowing. This is the process whereby God begins to remove that which has surfaced in our lives. the trials, tribulation, and pressures, allow these issues to surface, to be separated, and ultimately to be removed from our lives. So that's number one, threshing. Number two, winnowing in this threshing process. And number three, say with me, collection. This is when God begins to, now we've been purified, cleaned. There's still some things in our life, but now He begins to collect us, separate us unto Him, and draw us closer to Him. Listen, when the chaff has been removed, the grain is tossed in a wooden tray to separate it from the remaining stones and lumps of soil, which during the roots, which clung to the roots when the grain was reaped. So even though the winnowing process was throwing it up in the air, some little stones still fell down with the wheat. It was still in their lives. So this is the third process. So now it has to be removed by a wooden tray. It's those sift trays that they would sift it through like that. And the difference in weight between the stones and grain makes separation by this process. The grain is now piled in heaps and marked. Listen to this. So the grain is put in all these piles. It is marked in heaps. And they would mark it by pressing a large wooden seal against the pile. This leaves an impression on the pile of grain, which would be destroyed should any of the grain be removed. I'm sure you guys understand that. This allowed the government officers, when they would come to account of the tithes, those times they would come and collect your tithes. Eh? I think we must do that again. We hear that person got a promotion. The next day the church is standing there in front of the door. We had to collect. That's what how they did it. That's how they did it. And enabled the owner to detect any theft of grain. That's what it would be there for. So when God separates it, we have been set aside for His use. When God separates us, when He collects us, when He pulls us, He has set us aside for His use. This is when we experience an increase of the anointing upon our lives. Listen, just stop there. Same thing what I spoke about, the process of an olive hanging on the tree, from there being beaten at the bottom of the tree, olive falls down, feels like it's dead, then going into a press, being crushed and pressed until the oil comes out. As a believer, how many of you know you have the anointing in you? That is not the problem. The problem is not whether a Christian has the anointing or not. The problem is whether the outer man is broken so that the anointing can flow out or not. When we fast, we break our outer man. That is the reason for fasting. Are you guys with me? That the vessel can be broken and the oil can flow out. Listen. Upon our lives, and promotion follows. We receive, so when that stamp of this, the wooden stamp is pressed on the wheat, so we receive God's stamp of approval, His seal. The seal resembles the process which we have endured. It gives us worth and places His divine protection upon our lives. I was saying to my team, I think it was Thursday night or somewhere there, I said, isn't it amazing? I was speaking to them about gratefulness. And I said how every night when I get to bed, I'm grateful. What I do, I'll just lie on my bed for an hour before I go to sleep. And all I do is I just think from where God has taken me to where I am now. How impossible it is from where I've come to where I am now. Sometimes we have meetings, this place is packed. And then I remember the words that God said to me, every building you go to, I will fill it up. Listen. What happens at the threshing floor? I'll close off with this. We're almost finished. Number one, there's a line of separation taking place. It is at the threshing floor when a line of separation comes. The threshing floor has spiritual significance as the place where separation comes. We see that some are separated for use and some are sifted like wheat, found to be unfit for use. Found to be unfit for use. Many believers who do not have a solid foundation of the Word of God, willing to pay the price for the anointing, so they pay the price, and not consecrated in living pure and holy lives, do not have what it takes in the day of testing. Some are found to be as wheat, fit for the master's use, and others endure testings of God, and others are not able to endure testings of God, whereas others are found to be chaff, and when the time of threshing comes, they are taken by the winds of temptation, this wind, that wind, here, because they have not dealt with their flesh. Number one, what happens there? at the threshing floor. Say with me, line of separation. And number two, say with me, judgment. Hosea 13 verse 3 says, therefore, they shall be like the morning cloud and like the early dew that passes away, like chaff blown off from the threshing floor and like smoke from a chimney. Don't be a believer that can be blown away by wind. Are you guys with me? Wind of every doctrine, wind of offense, wind of Pastor Leon saying this and then a person leaves. You know, sometimes I can just forget to greet somebody and they take offense. Number two, say with me, judgment. So let's not be like wind tossed through, like smoke from a chimney, just blowing away. The threshing floor is a symbolic of judgment in the Bible. Old Testament prophet Isaiah spoke of how God would deal with those receiving judgment at the threshing floor, of the nations who will come against God during the end times. Micah 4 verse 12 says, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand His counsel, for He will gather them sheaves to the threshing floor. The idea that Israel will demolish the enemies like oxen trampling grain on the threshing floor. Chaff is referred to in the Psalms as a symbol of destruction of the wicked. And I'm not going to go through that. You can go read that. Go for me to the next point, point number three. Say with me, pay the full price. This is very powerful. I want you to catch this. And we're almost done, almost done. Say paying the full price. It's 2 Samuel 24 verse 21. Listen to this. Then Arunai said, he was speaking to David. He said, why has my Lord the king come to his servant? And David said, because I want to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar of the Lord, that the plague may be held back. Say with him, held back. David knew, listen, David knew when that if he was going to build a threshing floor, buy the threshing floor from that guy, Arunai, that he would hold judgment, a plague, back from his life. Are you guys with me? People that don't go through the threshing floor process, who don't go through testings, there can be what we call a plague, a curse coming out of there. Listen to this. He said that the plague may be held back from the people. Verse 23, Arunah said to David, everything, O king, Arunah gives to the king. And Arunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. However, the king said to Arunah, David said to him, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. Are you with me? Some people want to come to church cheap. They complain when we just take up an offering saying we take up all their money and they've never given anything. I say, listen, how can I worship God knowing that it cost me nothing to get here? That is a saying that we can live by. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Just want to read another place, same story. Then David said to Onan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me, say with me, full price. At the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. When somebody decides, I'm going into the place of threshing, I'm going through the time of testing, and I'm going to pay the full price. Maybe it's a price of rejection. Maybe it's a price of worship, serving in the church, whatever it might be. But I'm going to pay a full price for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, there's a full price. When we don't pay that price, we become thin and weak. We don't have weight. Are you guys with me? Then the king said to Onan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, for not offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing. David specifically made mention and reiterates that he must pay full price for the land. Malachi 1 verse 8, read this with me. It says, and when you offer the blind, let me explain this. How many of you know the book of Malachi? That's what we use for tithes and offerings. If you study it from the beginning, the first chapter, God was upset with his people because he said every time they gave offerings, they took the weakest animal or the most sick animal, and they would take that animal, they would give the least of what they have and give it to God. And he said, because you've given me the least, you shall see this curse coming upon your house, this thing happening to your family, this and this. And we go on with the scripture then Malachi. Let me read you Malachi 1 verse 8 so you understand. Now you understand kind of like what happened there. He said, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, Is it not evil? Everybody say with me, giving God the best. In the scripture, that's why we believe in the tithe, but we also believe in the first fruit, that a tithe is a first fruit. We believe in giving it in the first before we give our other, before we pay our other things. That's a principle that I live by because it has the power to redeem the rest. Are you guys with me? Number four, what happens at the threshing floor? Angelic encounters. Say with me, angelic encounters. 1 Chronicles 21, while Aruna was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. Angel was standing there with a big sword in his hand, ready to bring a plague and judgment. And when David made the decision to say, I will pay full price for the threshing floor. Are you guys with me? Is this boring? Okay, jeez. And David said, I will pay full price for the threshing floor. The angel withheld the sword and withheld the plague. Okay? Listen, point number five, an altar is built to worship God. We see how David wanted to build an altar at the threshing floor. It means sacrifice, to bleed. Let's close off with this. God's promises concerning the threshing floor. I'm rushing a bit because I want to close. Joel 2:24 says, the threshing floors, God is saying, your threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. That's God's promise. When we go through the process, he says, listen, I will bless you and increase you. Are you guys with me? 1 Corinthians, last chapter there on your notes. Listen to this. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it leads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? And then Paul says, for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope. And he who threshes, say with me, threshes, in hope should be partakers of that hope. When you go through the threshing floor, when you go through a time of testing, scripture is saying, Paul is saying, listen here, go through that with a vision in your mind, in your heart, of hope. And when you do that with hope, knowing, but wait, every testing I'm going through is for a purpose. Everything is going to work out for my good. It's going to build an exceeding weight of eternal glory for me. When you have that, he said, you'll begin to be partakers of that which God has promised you. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet. Father, may every person be blessed. May your anointing be upon them, that they know when times of testing comes, it's just waiting for your stamp of approval upon our lives. When times of testing comes, to test our weight, put your stamp on, ready for promotion and for the anointing to come upon our lives. May those under the sound of my voice go through the processes that you have for them and come out usable and shining for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. We see you guys tonight.